Welcome to Smart Prospecting. Thank you very much for coming. This is going to be an interactive session. If you're not sitting at a table where there's a bunch of paper, you got to move. We need you to be sitting in front of some of these paper that's out there. We're going to be doing some exercises during the day. I just want to start off by introducing the speakers here today. Please come on up and put your card right in the bowl. We're going to have some great prizes. My name is Dan Smolensky. I'm an SIOR. I'm with the Taurus Modal Group here in Chicago. We do industrial tenant rep. To my left, and maybe to your right, on the far left here, we have Mike Warner. He is with a little company called Cushman & Wakefield, operating out of Calgary. And then our third esteemed speaker here is Ben Stiliano. Stiliano, thank you. We know each other extremely well. We're getting to know each other. Ben Stiliano. Ben is with Strategic Coach. So, first, a public service announcement. Whoops. Oop. Yep. Thanks, guys. Thanks for your attention on that. So, any baseball fans here? Baseball fans? Three baseball fans. Any other baseball fans in here? Okay. Anyone's kids play Little League or daughters play softball or soccer? Anyone have kids that do that? I'm curious if anyone has actually coached any of their kids, nephews, nieces. You've been a coach? So I'm kind of a Little League coach here in Chicago. My kids are 11 and 12 years old, and I've been coaching them, I feel like, for about 8 years now. And what I gravitate to now while my kids are in Little League is you kind of got three kinds of players that show up to play. You've got the kids that are really good. They might play travel ball. They can just get out there and play. You've got some kids that maybe have never played and maybe just aren't athletic. And then you got the kids that are kind of in the middle. I tend to gravitate as a coach to the kids who can't really pull it together. And my objective, my goal, is that they make contact with the baseball before the end of the season. That is my goal with those kids, and that's what I'm working on. So we're coaching kids. Then some kids go on and they play high school, and they have a coach. The learning continues. They go on to college, and the learning continues with maybe a new coach. And some of them make it to the major leagues. And certainly, there's coaching going on there. So this room is kind of full of the major league real estate professionals. That's who's here. And what we're trying to do today is provide a coaching environment so we can all continue to get coached up. But the reality is that I'm not really a coach. Ben's a coach. Mike's not really a coach. But we're all coaches. We've all helped train folks. And we're all trying to improve what we're doing on a daily basis. And today we're going to focus on prospecting and what we're doing and what's effective. And I want to just kind of hit the goals first so you can see what we're trying to accomplish today. Really, the first two bullet points are what we're trying to hit. First, we need to get the collective knowledge out of this room. Okay, I don't know that I do anything better than you know, someone in another market. We do some things that we think work, but you all do things that work as well. And that's what these exercises are geared, are designed to do, is to try to understand what you do. The second goal is why we're all here. I came to the SIOR conference. Really, my top priority is to meet my fellow SIORs so that ultimately you're helping serve my clients in the markets that you're in, and hopefully you'll bring some business here to Chicago so we can make money. So that is the overriding goal that we're trying to do. And I think what will happen through this process is you'll sort of rediscover some of the things you've been doing and maybe get some new techniques for what other folks are doing. And then ultimately, what we're going to have is we're going to actually have action items that we're going to work on before we leave so that you are taking things home that you can start doing tomorrow, today, next week, whenever. So here's kind of the agenda that we're going to follow today. Ben is going to take us through the strategic coach platform called Unique Ability. And there's one of the worksheets on your table that we're going to hit. Mike and I are going to talk about old school prospecting techniques. And then we're going to also take some of those technique concepts and work on some exercises that, again, you can take home. And hopefully Monday or Tuesday, you're winning more business right away. And then last, we are having a raffle or a prize drawing. And again, if you haven't put your card in here at the end, we're going to be doing a drawing. So the objective, again, is to get the information from you guys. This is going to be interactive. We're going to be asking people to stand up. I don't see a lot of shy people in this room. This group typically isn't too shy. But with that, I'm going to turn it over to Ben, and we're going to get right into Unique Ability.
Am I on? All right, thanks. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for being here. Now, Dan and Mike and I, we just became best friends about, 3 weeks ago. We've had a few conference calls. We put all this together over the phone. And so I'll just make one little correction. I work with Strategic Coach. I'm a senior sales consultant there. I'm not one of the coaches, but thank you for that. I'll take that back to the group there. So first of all, I want to thank you all for being here because I know there's a lot of activity and it's the, I think it's the drinking hour now, so thank you for taking the hour and a half. A show of hands, anybody here in the audience that is a client of Strategic Coach, you can just raise your hands, look around, okay, great. So we do have some ex-coaches, current coaches, that's fantastic. Now, if for those of you who've never heard of Strategic Coach, we have an office in Toronto, one in Chicago, and we do satellite workshops right across the U.S. and in Europe. And basically, we have been in business for 26 years. We've coached over 17,000 very successful entrepreneurs. We are not industry specific, and that is really critical. We have a lot of realtors, we have surgeons, we have dentists, we have construction company owners. As long as you're self-directed, and our main focus is we want you to reduce complexity, we want you to free up your time, and we want you to have a better quality of life. Now, one of the first things what I'm gonna cover, because there's so many facets of the coach program, but what I will cover is that the underlying, I would say one of the most key critical things in our program is called Unique Ability. So before I get into definition and so forth, what I would love to do, if we can just have some shout outs, and I don't know if you can read this in the back, but what it says, daily activities to grow your business. So what do you do daily, weekly? What do you do to grow your business? So let's just have some people shout out some answers. Prospecting. So what does that mean? Phoning? Networking. Okay, so we have, you want to write that? Excellent. Okay, so we have networking. Anybody else? Cold calling. Yes, just say it again. Oh, meet two. Okay, so have a goal. Two people, new people per week. Anybody else? Okay, which is kind of networking, attend events. Anybody else? Social media, that seems to be a biggie these days. Anybody else? Contact for sale by owner. Anything else that's not on here? It seems pretty regular. Any other? Okay, newsletters, that kind of thing. Okay, awesome. That's fantastic. Now, by a show of hands, now I'm assuming everybody in the room does you all do these activities, correct? Okay. So what I want to do, we'll come back to this in one moment, okay? So, as I mentioned, the whole unique ability concept is as follows. What we try and do is get you in your unique ability a higher percentage of time, because the number is not the critical component for now, so you can go out and do the things that you're great at. But let me give you the definition of unique ability. There's really four qualities. Your unique ability, that means you will have superior skills, okay? Superior. Not excellent, but superior. Whatever activities you do, it will bring you energy, okay? You need to be energized. You're not going to get up and do things that are going to bring your energy down. The third thing, these are activities that you're always improving. You could be doing this 20 years from today, and you're always getting better at it. And the most critical component, in my opinion, is that when you're doing these activities, it brings you passion, okay? So I'm just going to flip this back. So keep that in mind. Now, if you look at your handout and also on the screen, I just want to point out a couple of things. On the very outer circle, you have incompetent. These are activities that you hate doing, you suck at, to be honest with you, but you do them anyway. Then we have activities that that you are competent, you're okay, just okay. The inner ring, then, these are activities that you're excellent at. You could be awesome at them, but there's no passion there. So, and the bullseye is unique ability. That's where you want to be, in your unique ability. So having said this, how many of you, just show of hands, you can stand. Actually, let's stand. How many of you doing activities that takes you to your unique ability? How many? Let's stand up. If you are in your unique ability, stand up. Okay, so I could count. Okay, so we'd say, no, okay. Not too many, but okay, great. Thank you for doing that. So just to give you a little bit of perspective on this, what I would like you to do, on the back of a sheet that's blank, because the one I gave you on the back, there's additional information, but another blank sheet, I want you to draw one big circle, just one big circle. The size of the sheet, and if you have a smaller space, even half, but one large circle. What this represents is your activity, your entire activity in that day, entire activity, okay? And then, with a pen or a marker, whatever you have, what I want you to do, whatever your unique ability is that brings you passion, even if you're doing zero of it, this is going to represent percentage of time that you do it. So in my role as a sales consultant, this is my entire day. My unique ability, I would say, is probably, I would say I'm about 80%. Okay, so just mark a number, percentage. So let's shout out some numbers. Percentage of time that you are in your unique ability. Let's call some numbers out. 40%? 30? Feel like an auctioneer. 20? Anybody above 50? Okay, anybody else? What's the just throw some percentages out. 75? 10%. Oh, you need our program. So this simple visual thing is just to make you aware that unique ability is, for in our program, it is critical, okay? So what happens is this. I want you to really be conscious, and we're going to do an exercise that I'll take you through, and that would be on the back, actually the sheet on your table there. And now you're going to see where it says unique ability expander below there. And we're going to take about 2 minutes per column. So in the column where it says more of, think of some items that you want to do more of. Like, what is your unique ability? Let's actually, before we do this, no, we'll do it at the end. So let's take 2 minutes per column, jot down what activities you want to do more of. And the really important one would be what activities you want to do less of. This means here, by the way, the word here should be delegate. What activities should you be delegating? Okay, and then in the far right where it says improvements, 3 actions that you can take away today that will actually give you a head start, will get you in that right direction. Okay, so let's start now and go for it. Yeah, what we're going to do, what I want, I think I want them to kind of discuss it among the group. Each table, maybe we can do that. Okay, let's do, and then each table can come up with.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, there's, there's one right. More time? You're all done? That's awesome. Anybody need more time? Oh, you're all done. Okay. So why don't we do this? Just for purpose of, you know, getting things done a little quicker because we have other speakers here. Each table, discuss amongst yourselves what, let each table pick one item that you should all collectively think you can do more of. And also one item less, one in each column. Circle the one most important to yourself individually and just have a quick conversation. And then we're going to get maybe four or five people just to, you know, let's give the answers to what you've come up with. More of, less of, and one improvement. Okay? So feel free to talk out loud and that'll just take a moment and then we can just write some of the answers on the board here. More of, less, and maybe one action. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, more or less, okay. I should have had that beer. Calls. Admin. Those are critical, yeah. Do you want to write them out? Okay.
I'll start.
Hmm?
I'm going to start.
Okay, good. Is your mic on? Yeah. Okay, does everybody have things? How are we doing, everybody? Are we ready to shout out some answers?
We good?
Okay, so we're going to start with Mike here, because Mike is your colleague. So, Mike, what would you do more of and less of?
All right, everybody. Going to bring the energy up a little bit in the room here. One of my clients... I'm a little ADD. One of my clients told me one day that I make coffee nervous. So I'm going to try to keep you guys rolling here. I am a strategic coach client. It's part of the reason that I'm up on stage with Ben. I wish I had done, this isn't a sales pitch, but I wish I'd done strategic coach in my first year of sales, not my 12th year of sales. Because we come into the business and we get busy doing the things we need, think we need to do, but it's not the action items that bring us towards a sale. You know, we have things, we've got to make packages, we've got to get information, we've got to do X, Y, Z, and we lose track of there's the finding it, there's the mining it, and there's the grinding it part of the business. So for me, the unique ability is I like doing websites. You look at your tables, there's some Calgary Warehouse stuff up there. I spend too much time on social media. My unique ability is talking belly-to-belly to clients. There are other things that are surrounding my business that need to happen, and I need to have my hands in everything. So the key for me in strategic coach was looking at saying, you know, in a day I send a fax, I make a brochure, I do marketing materials, I have to set up a tour. There are things that I am really good at and there's things that I do better than other people that I shouldn't do and there's things I should just never do. So for me, you know, I need to make more calls and less admin. You need to try to figure out what are the things that your unique ability make you excited. I don't love doing packages. Hand them off. So help me out here. Who? Tell me a more and tell
anything
me a less,
you?
Please.
Anything other than that? Anybody?
FaceTime.
FaceTime. Okay. Meeting with clients. Awesome. Okay. FaceTime. Anybody else?
New relationships.
New relationships. Okay. And you know, I want to make a comment about new relationships. We have a thing at Strategic Coach that we do all the time. And the way to create new relationships, you go to your top 20. It's a farm club. Go to your top 20. These clients already love you. They use you. And those are the people that you should be buying lunches for, creating events. That's one great way of getting new clients. Use your existing contacts, okay? Anyway, just a little aside. Anybody else?
The only other guy, or one of the only guys with a tie, front desk here. Emails, filing, and
okay. So that's one of the really common things that we see with every entrepreneur. If even if you have a team of just one yourself or a team of 20, the first thing you do, you need to get a personal assistant to mine your emails, your whatever. Yes, sir. You love solving deals.
Deal problems.
Deal problems. Okay. Awesome. Anybody else? Say it again, sorry. Use a business journal. Is that for prospecting, you mean, or? Okay, so just different prospecting avenues. Okay, awesome. Okay. So, look, we could go on and on. I'm sure there's a bajillion examples, but the key, what I want you to take away today, unique ability, is getting in touch. Remember why you became a realtor? Why did you go into the business? It was your passion for. So what you want to do is make that list, even if it takes you, well, the simple thing is come to the coach program, but that's another story. But make those lists and start delegating. But it's not drive-by delegating. You need to get people in place, and you need to be specific and clear as to what you want them to do.
You need to be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
You know, we all say we're so busy. You go to a broker open house, and how you doing? I'm so busy. Let's be honest with ourselves.
Do that again. That was good. That was awesome.
But seriously, I mean, we all are busy. Everybody knows we're busy. But the question is it busy work? You know, are you working in the business of commercial real estate, or are you working on your business? Because there's a lot of guys that like putting on suit and tie. I'm a broker, and most of the guys in this room and women in the room, I would assume, you know, where you're an SIR, you have been successful. But I can guarantee you're not as successful as you probably could be. Fantasy draft. I mean, I'm a Canadian, but so many guys that walk by their offices and then they're doing NFL pools and such. You know what? Pick a time, do it later.
Yep.
The main focus is do the things that make you money now, and be honest. Write it down and say, these are the things I'm not going to do. And don't say, I can't delegate that. Figure it out. I use Odesk, which is an Indian kind of a website where you can go and have people do spreadsheets for you, do lease abstracts for you. They do it for $6 an hour. Outsource. Figure it out. Do your unique ability. Odesk.com. I think it's called Upwork.com now.
And I'll end just with behind that worksheet, there's my contact information. And if you want me to send you, this is one of the prizes here. It's the Unique Ability book. We just released the second edition 10 years later. Rave reviews. There's also a workbook with it. It'll change the way you do your life, not only your business. So you can email me. I'll send you a copy, complimentary. And if you have any questions, I'll be here for a little while after the presentation. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you. Thank you.
Great. Where's that clicker thing for me? All right, that's cool. Yeah. So next, we are going to check out this slide, guys. I mean, I saw this picture, and I don't know what was going on, but we're going to let Mike Warner come up here and explain that to us.
What do you say? So Dan asked me to come and talk today, and I said I had a room full of guys that make, and ladies, sorry, they make a ton of money. What do they want to listen to? A guy that looks really good and seems young. He says, you know, we're putting on this prospecting session. I want you to be on it with me. And I said, why me? Him and I were on for 4 years now. We trade ideas, we trade marketing pieces, we trade concepts. So he said, come and talk, and let's kind of rock and roll. So a key thing for me is have a plan. It's extremely important. As I said, people come to this business, they go to the office, they wear a suit and tie. They think that because they're in the business, they're just going to get a lead. Maybe they'll do a deal. You got to have a plan. So the way we look at it for my team, and I'm just going to talk about my team, and if you can extrapolate something from that, and questions are great. I have a team. We have a plan. The plan links to a task calendar. Nothing happens on my team unless it's on the task calendar. So if we need to do something different, we'll add it to the task calendar. But the task calendar rules our life. Basically what happens, so we have a task calendar, we have regular meetings. Monday morning meetings, daily meetings, monthly, quarterly, annual, and you go, oh my God, that's a lot of meetings. But you need to be measurable and you need to be accountable. So we will have meetings with the team and we have an agenda of what we're going to achieve, be it listings, be it lease expiry dates, and there are things that happen on a regular basis. So we meet, we sit down. I actually use Strategic Coach, it's a weekly planner. So there's three things that have to happen that week to just have to happen. Now the key for me, the whole reason we are so planned is to figure out where on the schedule you can cold call. Because if you don't set time to prospect, and this is gonna be bare bones prospecting today, you're not gonna do it. You'll say, oh, I gotta make a phone call, or whenever you think about it, you make a phone call. So we use the calendars and the agendas to plan our day. So holding you accountable to make calls is basically the first part of that. We're gonna get to technology in a bit, and it's gonna be less than what you all think. Prospecting techniques. So stick to itness. I mean, that's, tell you a little story. I'm from Vancouver. I used to deliver the Vancouver Sun. I was 12. You gotta have a goal, you gotta stick to it. I wanted to go to Disneyland. You sell 65 new memberships, new subscriptions, you go to Disneyland. I had something like this on my wall. I don't keep the stuff, but every time I sold one, I'd mark it. So I had a plan, I stuck to it. The funny thing was that I got the trip to Disneyland, got ear infection on the way in the plane, and I stayed in the room. But you got to keep your eye on the ball and not be distracted, and that comes down to prospecting and calls. I know who you are, Randy. Do you know how many calls a week you make?
25 calls.
Probably. No, do you know how many calls you make? Does anyone in this room know how many calls that they made last week?
One person.
Not even, hardly anybody. Like, for our team, we know how many calls we use. You know, we have a bit of technology I'll talk about, but every call that we make gets tracked. We use REA. So at the end of the week, I can say, okay, guys, and we have a new girl on the team. So we made 40 calls last week. The week before, we made 100 calls. We had no meetings. So we track calls, we track meetings, we track emails out. The concept is we have our eye on the ball with prospecting because we know we want to hit called $1 million, you can't get there if you're not doing the tasks. So you can't go through a year and find out you didn't hit your goals and just say, well, geez, the market was off. So for us, we track. So that's kind of why I'm here today, because we really manage that. I know Dan's going to make me go faster here. Technology. Who uses a CRM in here?
CRM, database.
Sorry.
Some way to track.
If you don't know what CRM is, your hand is probably down. Who's got a smartphone? How many people can go into their smartphone right now and pull up a building in their market and tell me all the tenants that are in there and the lease expiries?
Maybe.
So our team, I'm an OCD data whore. I need it as much as I can. I spend 10, 12 hours a day in my database. We're in touch with people all day long. We're putting it in a database, and I think on the screen it probably says, time spent saving information is more than made up by the efficiency of retrieval. It drives me nuts when I can't find information, when I'm cold calling. We're gonna get back to the action items. I'll talk a bit more about prospecting. So we'll talk about that.
Okay.
And that is it for me.
Great, thank you, Mike.
Woo-hoo.
So now, good job, Mike.
One-handed
Let's give Mike
clap.
A hand. Thanks, Mike. So now we're going to try to get into the weeds a little bit. We've been talking a little bit conceptually. Now we're going to start talking about what's working, what we're doing, and how we're actually executing. So specifically, we're going to talk about door knocking. Scary, very scary. Cold calling, and then you know what we're actually doing to measure. So this is sort of that, you know, how many calls do you make? I don't know, I guess I just make enough. And there's sort of a concept of what's your success ratio? You know, I do pretty good, and I'm kind of lucky. So to me, you know, luck is sort of the result of preparation and opportunity. It's luck. That's what luck is. Luck is, another word for luck is results. This is one, I actually found this one on the internet recently. I love the word hustle. We always, in our office, we're always talking about being hustlers in a great way. So hustle, opportunity, and optimism creates luck or results. And then it's just, you know, nothing new, guys. Hard work, persistence, perseverance, my personal favorite. But at the end of the day, it's us. We don't have, you know, a real silver bullet. You do this and you're going to find new prospects. At the end of the day, what we're talking about now is hard work. But you got to measure that work. This is what we do in our office. This is actually an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. I blew it up a little bit so we could see it a little bit better. Every Monday morning at our sales meetings, you get one of these. And by the way, if anyone wants this, just send me an email or give me your business card that you want the weekly checklist, and I'll be happy to give it to you. So what we have on this, there's goals. And the goals are monthly goals and weekly goals. So what you've got here is the measuring is you've got Monday through Friday, and then at the top, this top row, let's see if this mouse helps. Can you see the mouse? Yeah, okay. So this top row, it says across the top, you've got tours. So if you're doing a tour, five-property tour, that gets you a lot of points that day. So Monday, you would put a 1 in Monday, and then there's a way to, you know, where it would track down to 25 points is what you got for that day. We're trying to get 100 points in our office. That's what we're trying to do. So if you didn't have any tours that week, and again, we actually give less points for building tours that are 2 or less because we think that just doesn't take as much time, and that's usually like the last tour where the guy just wanted to see the building again. So that's not worth as much because it just didn't take as much time. But you've got door knocking is worth a certain amount of points. Certainly meetings are worth more points. And then calls, and we do give credit for emails, but we're trying to be very consistent here. You know, every single week that date is being changed, and every Monday we go over it. The one thing that's not numerical that we do in here is where it says meetings, actually meetings and calls, we write down who it was, and we just say, this is who I connected with this week. And then what we do with this information is we put this into a spreadsheet, and you're able to actually kind of get some data out of it. What's the best day to call somebody? What's the best day? You're trying to, you know, warm calls, cold calls, whatever you want to call it. What's the best day? That's what I heard. Today, okay, I like that, George. What's the best day? Is there a best time? Okay, so I agree with George. The answer is it's when I'm available. That's when I'm going to do it. You know, an interesting phenomenon, though, that we have found, Friday afternoons, it's like gold. I can't explain it, but people pick up their phones on Friday afternoons. George, I'm going to call you Friday afternoon and see if you're around. So this is something that we use that's just been effective to track, and it's the honor system. I mean, if you want to fudge it, you can fudge it, but it's working out pretty well so far. This is the leave behind. This was designed because we do a lot of door knocking. Okay, so I've asked people, you know, do you knock on doors? Are you still in your market? I mean, I've been doing this for 21 years. I was knocking on doors on Monday. Here's an easy way to do it. An easy way to do it is if you have a meeting. By the way, I have hard copies of this. If anyone wants it, they're up here. And again, I'm happy to email this to you, so if you'd like to check it out. We bring this when we do our door knocking. We usually lead with our business card. I have my smartphone on me that has my database. So before I go in, I just sort of log in the company. I've probably been there before. Log in, have I had any contact with anyone there? Do I have the contact name? And our mission is to, you know, certainly walk out with the contact name if we don't have it. But there's a mentality with door knocking that it's, you know, I've been in this business, I've earned my stripes, that's not what I do, that's what rookies do. And I'm actually okay with that mentality because I love that my competitors have that mentality. So you're sending in a guy who just got in the business and is learning, and it's a great way to learn, door knocking. I encourage everyone to do it. What's the objective of the rookie who's going and doing door knocking? What's his goal when he walks in there? Does he even have one? I think the goal is to get out of there, right? Todd, get out of there. I dropped off the flyers. I did what we said we're going to do, and I'm out of there, okay? My goal when I go in there is to win business. That's why I'm going in there. And I I mean, 99.9% of the time, I don't leave until I get what I want, which is the contact information, generally speaking, or even to see someone live. And I'm not rude about it. I'm actually quite the opposite. I have a very good time with it. I'm always trying to make whoever's there, sometimes the business owner's there, coincidentally. Sometimes it's the business owner's spouse who happens to sit at the front desk. Sometimes it's someone who just started that day. And, you know, what's their objective when I walk in? What is it? The objective when I walk in the door is if you don't have an appointment, you're out of here, okay? I understand that, and I get the game. So let's play the game, okay? Sometimes I'll even say that. I know you want me to leave, but I'm happy to do that if you just give me Bill's business card. No problem. They laugh, and I get Bill's business card. I just had one last week. I got kind of referred into a deal. You know, sort of like, don't tell this guy that I let you know. And I didn't have his email, and I wanted to send him an email. I'd already been calling him. He wasn't calling me back. So I went in and stopped in there, and coincidentally, the owner's daughter was the person at the door, and she just handed me his card that had all his information. So that was a success story. So we're going in, leading with our card. I'm Dan. I'm here to see Bill. If it's right on my database, it's right sitting here on my smartphone and getting the information. Okay? So then what are you doing with that information? This goes back to what Ben and Mike were talking about. You have to have the technology, you have to have the platform, so you can take that business card and it doesn't sit on your desk. We have an admin, and the admin is putting the data in that day, and I'm making that call the next day or in 2 days. So now we're gonna shift from door knocking to calling. By the way, I want you to think about this, because I want to come back to this in a moment. This leave behind that we do, we think this thing is like an amazing vehicle for us. If I talk to someone, I'll write them a handwritten note and attach it to this thing. We embed it in our emails. You know, great talking to you. We'll talk to you next year. You know, here's our quarterly update. Whatever the message is in that email. So we have hard copies and we're using it electronically. What are the tools that you guys are using? I want to come back to this in a minute. I want you to think about it. You know, and something that I'm trying to promote up here by saying, hey, if you want my information, I'm more than happy to give it to you. I think that is one of the biggest benefits of this group, is that we share information. So I'd love for someone to think about that, and if you'd stand up and tell us what are some of the tools that you are using. So we did our door knocking. By the way, great story about door knocking. 100% of the deals that I have executed this year started as a door knock. It's a phenomenon I didn't realize until about 3 months ago when I was just looking at what was going on. Just sort of looking, we all do this, where did I find this guy? You know, who's the person I got to send a bottle of wine to for helping with the intro? I just did, Brennan Investment Group is one of the folks who was in the exhibitor, and they built a new building in Des Plaines. I was doing door knocking in Des Plaines. Turns out the company was being bought literally within a 72-hour window that I just happened to walk in the door. It was being bought by a company out of the East Coast. The local guy became my advocate because he knew that they needed to do something and just said, hey, I can help you get in. That was 18 months ago. I just did a 100,000 square foot, 7-year lease on new construction at 710 net. So that was a door knock. So I'm not just talking the talk here, I'm walking the walk. So, again, yeah, sorry, no, you didn't raise your hand. So anyway, the calls are, like we said, you do them when you can. You absolutely do them when you can. The next thing that you need to think about when you're doing the calls is, what are you actually saying? You know, are you like, all right, I got an hour, I'm gonna bang out these two calls. You know, it's not the greatest mentality, but I'll actually take it. I'll take you doing the calls. So we're gonna do an exercise right now. There's another sheet on your table. We have extras up here if you don't have one. It's called exercise 2. What's your pitch? And what we're going to do is we do want you to collaborate in the tables as a team. But what we're hoping that you get out, this exercise, we're really hoping that you're going to take home and share it with your junior guys, get it into your training program, but at least help you, you know, have something to talk about. When you're at the cocktail hour, what do you say to someone who you casually come upon when they say, what do you do? So if you'd start, please, just start writing it down. And you'll see that there's the segment of the way this is gonna go. I'm gonna ask you for a shorter version in the next exercise, and then one word to describe what you do. So we're thinking about this, what we're going to actually say to someone on the phone, and then actually how we are emailing people and sending messages. So let's start, if you could just get to work on what's your pitch, the elevator pitch. And please collaborate among each other. Water. Finger in the water.
What are you looking for?
My phone.
You just had it.
Nope.
It's odd. That's mine. But... Did you get your pocket?
Hey.
Do you have more?
We don't have. I don't have.
You're out.
I'm out.
You know what? There might be some floating around the table.
Yeah,
like,
go to an empty.
There.
There's. That's bizarre. You lost your phone.
Okay, who's got one? Who's got a pitch? We need you to stand up and share your pitch. Maybe something that you collaborated on. Maybe just what you came up with. I'm going to start calling on you guys. Yeah, hey, what's up? One second. So, no, you go ahead, please. Can you speak to the audience, please? Nice. He said, I do big industrial land
and buildings
nationwide. Cool. Thank you. Bob. Say it real loud.
I solve your real estate problem. You do not yet know that you have.
I solve your real estate problem. I solve. Sorry, I'm from Chicago. Sorry, we don't have a mic for you. Got to do that last part louder. I solve your real estate problem that you do not understand that you have. I solve your real estate problems that you don't even know you have. I like that. What else? Yes, Eileen. Stand up, please. We need it loud. Conflict-free real estate representation. Conflict-free real estate representation. Anybody else want to go before we drill into this next component of the exercise? What's your pitch? I heard a no, okay. All right, let's go into, yeah, go ahead, Tim.
We exclusively represent tenants, specialize in creating leverage.
We exclusively represent tenants and specialize in creating leverage. Excellent, I like that. Anyone else? All right, yes, go ahead. Pat.
Over 30 years experience, I get to apply to the very best deal.
I got over 30 years experience and can help you get the best deal if you're expanding, consolidating, whatever you're up to. All right, let's go into the next exercise. The next exercise, we've got to shorten these down. All right, Twitter, if you don't use Twitter, this is not really designed to literally be used on Twitter, but the concept of Twitter is that it's very short. There's 140 characters that you're allowed to put on Twitter, so it's about 12 words. Some of these actually have been pretty short so far. So let's come up with a very condensed version. What do you do? Collaborate. Create.
Ready.
Help clients find the best space and the best deal. Okay. Okay. All right, any shorter versions? What do you do? All right, let's get some one words up here too. Why not? Sell. How about execute? How about save you time? What else do we have? What's that? Service. Cool. All right. Anything else? Yes, way back. Prio. Trusted real estate consultant. Okay. Terrific. Thanks. Thank you, for everyone, for participating in that. Is there anything else we want to surface? Okay. So now we are going to move on and bring Mr. Mike Warner back up here.
Be scared. I was sitting here trying to find some special music for us in between. But the Wi-Fi is not working so great. Oh, here we go. It's not working. No longer a technology expert. So the next time we have one of those, we'll pull up the music. Anyway, the concept here is this. And again, I'm afraid to sit up here and waste your time because it's very valuable. What we're trying to get across here is we all think we're awesome. We all think we say the right things. We all think we call at the right time. But really, if you look yourself in the mirror, you probably don't. You're not so great. You're good. I look at myself that way every day because I want to be better than I am. The Japanese have a saying called kani, constant and never-ending improvement. So that's how I look at this. And if you have questions, again, jump in. But so call to action. What do you do? Here's what we do. It's back to basics. We have a thing called an area of responsibility. So I'm just going to ask real quick. I'm going to jump down here. Area of responsibility is you know everything in that area, next activity, the first lease that gets done, the tenants in the area. John, what is your area of expertise? No, seriously, where do you spend your time? Where are you a territory guy? Are you a use? He said,
I'm a general.
You're a generalist. Okay, who?
If you want it.
Okay, so who in here has an area of responsibility? So I'll give you an example. Where I'm from, there's a district I started in called McCall Business Park. Calgary, big box, they're in squares, so it's easy to do. So McCall Industrial Park, there's 117 tenants, or 117 buildings. There's 418 tenants. My junior guy, when he started, did what I did, which was get to know every single tenant. So we know who owns the buildings, who leases the buildings, when they expire, who's likely to move, who's likely to lease the space. So who here can tell me their area of expertise or their area of responsibility?
Behind you, Mike.
Don't be afraid.
Yeah, so my area of expertise is the I-580, I-680 corridor in the San Francisco East Bay area.
Okay, thank you. That's great. So what I'm trying to get to is this. No disrespect to the generalists, because relationships are big as well. But for me, when I got started 15 years ago, I knew nobody. I didn't have the experience. I had to become an expert in something. So I did a farming exercise. So McCall, I know every district in our city, like I just said to you now. You need to find your area to chase, because otherwise you're just picking up the phone and you're dialing for dollars, or you're sending mail and you're mailing and praying. There's no way to prospect, at least not on our team. So what we do is, I'm just going to give you one piece, and I'm happy to share a longer conversation offline. We call it the 25 plan. So in our area of responsibility, we have a district, we'll call it McCall. We know who we're going to call. I call Big Bay product. So what we do is, every week we do 25 mails. We research the companies, which goes into our database. We create a mailing package. We send it to the tenants. That goes out this week. Next week, I start calling that tenant. This week, I'm calling last week's tenant. So we're sending them something. We're preempting them before we call. Instead of just calling them saying, hey, do you have any space needs? Do you need anything? So the concept being is when we call, they may know who we are. They may have already been warmed up. Maybe they need something. We have the call. It gets documented in the database. So we know when we talked to them last and what we said. If there's a need, we start following up and it goes to prospect piece of our database so we can track our prospects and rank them by probability. Do people here rank, number one, do you have a list of your prospects? Do you know how much money you may or may not have, and how do you manage that? Anyone?
Pipeline.
Pipeline how?
Simple spreadsheet.
Simple spreadsheet, which is fine. It's quick.
Does anyone have a top 10 list? These get okay. Top 10, top 50. These okay, whatever the number is, a top list of prospects, where you can those guys get maybe some special attention. They're getting a different kind of gift than than just an email once in a while. They might actually be getting some kind of gift or a nicer holiday gift. It allows you to focus on those folks, and hopefully, you know them backwards and forwards, and the what's your pitch is extremely customized for those folks as well.
Can you track how many times the customer goes emails?
Good question. So the question is, can you track how many times customers are opening your emails? And I think what you're talking about is when you send a marketing email specifically. You're using Constant Contact. We use MailChimp for ours. Absolutely. So when we send ours every month, we have a monthly newsletter. I would guess about 20 of you guys get this right now. It's called The Link. And The Link is designed to be a touch. And the thing that's come out of The Link is that the service that we use, which is called MailChimp, which costs zero, and I've been using it for 5-6 years, it's literally free. And it's up to 12,000 email blasts a month. We do about 2,500. But it tracks who opens the email. And not only tracks who opens it, but how many times they've opened it. And it also tracks if they've forwarded it. So they have other metrics in there that are so easy. I mean, all you do is you go to your campaign that you just sent, and you open it up, and there it is. And we get a few unsubscribes. I mean, we've got a huge list, and that's okay. And we put unsubscribes in our database and treat them differently. So we might come back to them. I'll just go through my unsubscribes. Like, who are these guys? How did I meet them? Or, boy, there's like 10 unsubscribes. I don't want to lose them. So I need to maybe call them with more, in a higher rotation. So just wanted to touch on the technology piece.
We're the same way. Unsubscribes are not unsubscribes to us. They're just unsubscribes in the digital world. So all of our unsubscribes still get our hard mails, and they still get phone calls. The key for us for prospecting is data. The more information you have, the better you sound on the phone. The more prep you do, the better you sound on the phone. So old school prospecting for me is going back to the old school. You got a telephone, you got a telephone book, make some calls. That's it's knuckle-dragging prospecting. So the more you can learn about your prospect before you call, save it. I've got a team that I'm slowly building. We've got 3 in the team. Our concept is, and back to the unique abilities, spend your time where it's well placed. So everything that we do now, and I'll talk about the guy yesterday, was routinized, the things that you do routinely, we create a how-to for everything. How you put in a lease comp, how you make a phone call, how you use a printer, whatever. Because my concept is, as we continue to grow the team, we want to cut all the time down to train these people in half, et cetera. So how does that apply to prospecting? It gives you more time to prospect. So 2 quick things. Here's how it all works for me. We track a lot of lease expiries. It goes into the database. We send out a lease expiry letter 18 months prior, because in our market, we're heavily institutionalized and the landlords are calling a year in advance. So we call 18 months in advance. We send out an LED letter. Nothing happens. A little note goes in the database, reminder, call. We call the tenant, nothing happens. Use a couple reminders. We call again, nothing happens. We call again, send an email, and we get a phone call back, and they just happen to need 100,000 square feet. Okay? So having a system in place that manages your prospects and your plan is so necessary. You can call and hope that you get a deal on the first phone call, but I think it's 5 to 6 touches before you do a deal with someone. That's a phone call, that's an email, that's a drop-in and meet. So for us, it really, really works. So I'm going to put you all on the spot here. We've got a call to action. And if it's important to you, how many new contacts do you want to make next week? And how are you going to track it? If it's important to you to make new contacts. Anyone at this table? 20 new contacts. So if you were to do 20 new contacts, how would you, let's say if you did that every week, how would you measure that? Or do you already measure that? Okay, what CRM to use? Solve 360? Does anybody else use that? I don't know that one. Okay, and he says he uses an administrator to put it in, so fantastic. Anyone else? Solve 360? It's a Microsoft product? I don't know it.
You know, CRMs are interesting. We used to use Salesforce, which has now become the biggest CRM in the world. It just didn't work for us. It was too big. We're a much smaller company. And at the time, they were very designed to get data up to management so they could review it and make forecasts and whatnot. We didn't need to do, you know, income forecasting. So we switched to a database, and it was, I think it was costing us like $700 a month, which was a big number for us. But we're willing to spend money on technology or wherever that keeps us organized and makes us more money. So we switched to one that is called Batchbook, and I'm not suggesting that you would necessarily use that. There was two CRM providers here at the conference. One was called Bullhorn, and the other was Apto. Was that the other one? A-P-T-O?
N-R-E-A.
It's built on, I noticed that, yeah. And again, Salesforce works for you, that's great. It's an incredible system. Batchbook is, without being insulting to them, is like the dumbed down version. It's just real simple. It was very easy to get my data in there. It was not real estate focused at all. It was business development focused. And their pitch was kind of like, if you don't need Salesforce, you probably could use us. That was like literally what they had on their website. You know, if you're not on a database right now, even if you're a one-man shop or, you know, if you're part of a huge, institutional company, it can be painful. I'm not going to say it isn't. We started one database and switched to another one. But, you know, the rewards that we have gotten, the organization that we have right now, I know, my calls for next week are sitting there waiting for me. I know on Monday morning, I don't even have to think about the calls I need to make. I just have to execute. And that's what the database has done. And that was my goal. And honestly, it almost took me years to really get there because you got to play with it a little bit and you got to try things and this doesn't work. My to-do items piled up. But I'm at a place right now where I turn that thing on and some weeks I try to get 10 companies that I absolutely have to connect with. And there's others that come in to that, but there's 10 every single week that I absolutely must connect with. And all those started, by the way, with door knocking. There's not one company that's on there that I haven't knocked on their door. So just trying to give the full circle of the old school and utilizing technology.
Also, can I just, I want to chime in for a moment. We didn't talk about this, but if I can just spend 2 minutes on how you're managing your time, which is another concept. Okay. So they're talking about cold calling, knocking on doors, whatever it is that you do. What I can recommend, we have a time system that once you implement, it is magic. So you want to break down your week. And I'll just really brief here. There's three components to our time system. The first is your free day. That means a day away from work, total rejuvenation. The second part is called a buffer day. And then there's a focus day. So this is where things kind of get interesting. On a buffer day, like, you can't expect to be on 5 days a week. You can't be, pitching and doing whatever. You think you can, but it's really impossible. So you want to strategize, what are you going to do on the buffer day? And a buffer day, by pure definition, you're cleaning up messes, you're doing research, you're going to the dentist, you're just taking care of stuff, okay? And that's all you do. It's about 80% of your day. That's all you do. On a focus day, those are activities that bring you in revenue. So in your case, whether it's door knocking, whether it's getting on the phone, whether it's having lunch with clients, whether it's showing properties, on that day, that's all you're doing, is you're doing revenue generating activities. Two reasons why we divide it that way. Imagine just on that revenue on your focus day, your energies are gonna be just very consistent. You're gonna be in the, in the zone. You're gonna be meeting and doing the activities that you really, really know are going to drive in revenue. And on a buffer day, you're going to be probably hanging back, just taking care of stuff. So you're never going to feel that you're always under the gun. So you might just want to consider, how are you spending your energy? How are you breaking down what you need to do on a daily basis and on a weekly basis? So I just wanted to jump in on that.
For me, that's bang on. There was a book.
Is that a Canadian term? Bang on?
Bang on, bang it is. On. We use it a lot, yep.
We used to say that meant something else.
Yeah.
In Chicago.
Who was at the, I think it was the spring conference. There was a really good speaker, maybe this spring or last fall. It was the uncluttered mind or the organized mind.
Yeah.
How many people here saw that session? So when we were cavemen, cavewomen, you had to remember where that poisonous bush was and where you stored your nuts and where you got clean water. I mean, you're always trying to keep the stuff in your head. We can't do this nowadays. You can't remember the 50 clients you're supposed to call and you've got to send a Christmas gift to this person and you're trying to keep lease expiry information in your head. So for me, there's a place to put it, and that's in technology. But also, when it comes to free time, buffer time, if all day long you're thinking, I got a cold call, I got a cold call, I got a cold call, you're going to get tired and you're not going to be that motivated. So, you know, I'll ask the question, who in the room here does now or thinks it's a good idea to set up time blocks to call where you're focused on just calling? So 60% of the room, what percentage of you do it? And I'm not trying to, you know, what I'm trying to do is make a point here, because as I say to my team, I will not make you do anything I haven't already done. And in this room, we got to get on the phones. And some people will say, geez, I have relationships or I have warm calls. And that's great if you're making $1 million a year, but I'm not. And I know in order to do that, if you want to make $1 million, you need to do 50 deals that are $20,000 or vice versa. You know, you need to know those numbers. So, you know, one of the things we're going to ask here, apart from setting some time blocks, which I'm just going to, if you want to do it, you do it, is, you know, what prospecting tools and methods are you going to commit to after this?
And this is, we're kind of getting into exercise three, which is on your sheet. Whoa, jump away. We want you to really write this stuff down. What are the things, what did you think of today? And maybe it's something that we didn't talk about. What are the things you're going to commit to do when you leave this room? I mean, we talked about a lot of stuff, and, you know, part of the presentation was, I wish I could just, you know, give you an envelope and it's done. But you're going to have to do it. So, you know, that's the bad news and the good news, is that we're asking you to do a lot of hard work. But we would like you, you know, to stay on Mike's point here of what are the things, what did you get out of this today that you're going to start doing next week? And we need people to jump up and start telling us what those things are. And I'll give you something that I do, is when I have a meeting in my calendar, when it, you know, it says I'm going to meet with XYZ company, there's actually an automatic thing that I do. I know Mr. Door Knocking Guy, because I just make a ton of money doing it, but I know that I'm going to do 2 door knocks every time I schedule a meeting. So wherever that meeting is, I will be probably either knocking on the neighbor's doors, or I know that I'm going in that area and I might just look at my database and be like, who have I not connected with or who do I want to connect with? So it's just an easy way. I didn't even have to like take that much extra time. I'm going there anyway. And in Chicago, we have it's a huge market here. I might be driving an hour and a half to get to that meeting. So that's something that we're doing. What are the things that you got out of this today, or that we, you know, part of this was just reminding you of some of the things that you maybe used to do? What are some things that we're going to start doing Monday?
I'll start it off. Blocking in your calendar, Outlook, whatever, block an hour off 3 times a week. Find a time that works for you, do a bit of pre-preparation before the call. That's what we do. We try to get it in the calendar. Don't take any phone calls, turn your cell off, put a note on your door saying, don't bother me. Like, that's what we do. Suggestions, don't all speak at once.
I like that. Turn off your email for an hour.
How many people in the room get a, you know, a notice when you get an email?
An alert.
An alert.
Yep.
Turn it off. Do you have the little envelope in the bottom corner?
Turn off.
Is it still on? You know, email's like crack for white guys. It really is.
Bang on, Mike. Bang on, buddy.
Okay. Canadian stuff.
I am from Canada. White stuff rough as snow. But no, seriously, it distracts you. So I'm getting distracted as we see, which is why I say the squirrel. For those
also,
of you
another
email.
Thing I'm going to jump in here, Mike, if you're going to be spending that day prospecting, or cold, let's say you're in your office and you're cold calling, you're reaching out, make sure your staff gets it. You have to communicate that this day is really going to be doing that, so they're not going to knock on your door for every little thing that they need. So you have to make your teams aware, if you have a team, that this is what you're doing. It's really important. So everybody's kind of nodded, you know, everybody's at ease while you're doing your thing.
Goran, what do you commit to?
That sounds vague.
Sure. Great. So as pertains to prospecting, I mean, the concept here again is to get us wanting to prospect. It's not always fun. Sometimes you got to do some work. Sometimes you're a little rusty. So help me out here.
And you know, if for nothing else as well, I mean, maybe this was kind of an awakening for everybody to say, hey, you know, I really need to go back and do the activities that really got me to where I'm where I'm so far. So maybe it's a conscious awareness. Maybe you need to get a new team member. I mean, so did anybody have any of those kind of aha moments today? Raise hands, anybody? One, two, okay, three people.
Good. And you know, we've seen some of the presentations with metrics that are just out of this world. The market is, in some areas, most areas, is setting record performance, you know, mm-hmm. in terms of cap rates, in terms of vacancy, in terms of lease rates. How long is that gonna last? And if you're just, you know, absolutely, you know, hey, market's good, and when the market's bad, the market's bad. I guarantee you, if you're not doing these basic things now, when that downturn comes, is the market going to have a downturn ever, or are we just going to stay like this? I mean, this is what we're talking about, guys. This is where the rubber meets the road. You don't start doing the door knocking when the market sucks. You start doing it now, because the market is going to suck. We were on a call with a very, very, very large landlord just having a market update, and he had some opinions that he's in Chicago and has been through several cycles, and his opinion was that we're closer to the end than the middle. I don't know that he's right. I hope that means we have 2, 3, 4, 5 more years. We're all optimists in here, but you know, you gotta be real too. Mm-hmm. And if you're not doing it now, good luck when the market turns.
So maybe we'll turn it out to you now.
So what are we going to commit to do? Yes. Great. So she's going to go back and say, who have I completed transactions with, who I just haven't been in touch with. That's a great one.
That's mm-hmm. fantastic. I mean, you spend a lot less time on past clients than you do new clients, and I know I fall in the trap of you wanting new business and it's more exciting, but Calgary right now, oil prices the way they are, we're probably not going to do a whole lot of new deals in the next 18 months. So our business plan for prospecting is lease renewals and calling people and getting back in touch with the past clients. It's easy money. We made $100,000 last week on one deal on a renewal. I called him up. I said, hey, just, you know, I haven't talked to him in 5 years because I get busy, right? We get busy. I said, hey, it's Mike Warner. Remember that skinny agent you used to deal with? Yeah, okay, good. How's it going? Your lease coming up? He goes, yeah, you just deal with for me and just let me know when it's done. It's that easy. So that's a fantastic one. We forgot about that one on the list, but that's great.
Yeah.
I just want to go back to the door knocking and leave behind.
Yep.
We came up with a piece and we had our marketing department put it together. It's called Value Options, and we'll pick an area that's
you stand up.
It's kind of expensive, and then we'll have six value options sort of in pictures across the top.
So this is a hard copy. Marketing, so we're talking about, this is what we do at Taurus Modal. You're bringing up what works for you as far as a marketing piece.
Exactly.
What's it called again?
It's called Value Options.
Value Options.
And then you flip it over, and it has 10 reasons why you can hire a broker. And it's got a list.
I like that.
Knock on the door, it's a real rent's going up $10 a foot, and we've got all these value options. And on the back, it's all the reasons why you want to hire a broker. So it's a great piece. So it's
That's terrific. I hope everyone heard that. You're basically giving the customer what they want. They're giving metrics of your building's rent is going up $10 a square foot. Well, here's three buildings where it's not, or it's lower than $10 a square foot. So thanks for sharing that. Appreciate it. Thanks for bringing that up again. If anyone, right now we're just going to have kind of an open session. I asked if you would share some of your marketing ideas, so thank you. What's your pitch? How you're blocking your time, what do you commit to doing? You just raised your hand, I think.
Yeah, I was just going to mention something that I found useful. We don't use faxes hardly at all anymore. And I find that sometimes if I send a message to a client by fax, he gets it right away and he looks at it. Doesn't throw it out from the mail, doesn't delete it.
That's old school, my friend. He was talking about using fax machines. That the fax is showing up.
I don't mean regularly, I just mean in a particular situation.
No, it's a great point. It's like the Friday afternoon calls, it just works. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you can go home on Friday afternoon, I sometimes do too, but when I don't and I focus on my time blocking and I say I'm gonna make those calls, I'll make 10 calls and I'll get a hold of 7-8 people. What else do we have? What's the gold in the room? Behind you, please,
Just stand, please.
Stand up, please. Yeah.
It's a great point. Great.
I like that. So he was basically saying he's got a healthy lifestyle. He takes care of himself so that he can execute on the things he wants to do, whether it's business, maybe some pleasure. Trip. Yeah.
I didn't have to call 12 times to get through to them. I just had to call one person.
Yeah.
I
would give a summary, but I forgot where you started. But basically, it sounded like Tripp said, you know, his mood actually kind of drives the day. You know, maybe he just says, I'm going to do prospecting. It's a nice day. I'm going to go drive today and knock on doors. Or you know what? I'm feeling it. I'm just going to start banging out calls. If I could just, on the LinkedIn piece, just real quick, when I do my calls in the office, I have LinkedIn open. I mean, that is really, it's funny, I went away from it, and I started again about 60 days ago. And I'm finding that LinkedIn has really become what they want it to be. I mean, it's just, there's just tremendous communication that's going on there. You know, I haven't done the premium. I actually went to a class, there's a guy in Chicago, he's a LinkedIn consultant. I didn't know that existed, but they are out there. And again, I went to go see a coach. I wasn't a strategic coach yet, but it was a LinkedIn guy, and it was unbelievable the way his perspective. And he said his answer to the premium question was, if you're using it all the time and you get value out of LinkedIn, you might want to think about being a premium. He didn't work for them. He had no interest. He's like, but there can be value because it allows you easier communication and easier access. Mike.
Today on purpose, we didn't get into social media and all that sort of stuff because as far as I'm concerned, if you're not doing the basics on a day-to-day basis, you're just gonna get busy and you're losing the belly-to-belly, which is what we all do so well. So for LinkedIn myself, I am a premium member. I use it heavily. When I make a phone call and I actually connect with someone, I will immediately link them in if I can find them because I make a phone call, they don't know who I am, maybe they're distracted. If they link me in immediately, and if you don't have good LinkedIn profiles, fail. Go get them done. Get a picture that isn't from 20 years ago. That's one way that we do as a follow-up after the fact.
Speaking of pictures, where's that thing? Where's Mike's picture? Oh, we can't see it on that one. Mike's picture, we need Mike to get a new picture. Check this out, guys.
Okay, put it back.
Where is this thing? There it is. Look, are you kidding me? Mike, smile, for God's sakes. So what else? What else is working? Yes.
Which is that?
What's it called?
It's called
Sharp Spring CRM, okay?
And they only sell it to agencies, though, so we gotta test the agencies. But if somebody comes through your website, it'll automatically pull up the user ID so you can see who it is or figure out about who it is within that company so you can follow up with them.
You know, the CRM dialogue, there's so many out there, and again, we had two exhibitors here. You gotta be, do we have three?
We had RealNex.
Oh, right, right. Okay. So, but my what I wanted to say is that it's like anything that you buy that, you know, you're trying to add a value to it or you're trying to maybe hire an ad agency or something. You really need to know what you want. Like, what? Why am I getting a CRM? Do I just want to house data? Like, for us, we wanted to send the monthly newsletter. That was the goal of why we got a CRM. The CRM allowed us to put the data in there, and then it had it was actually linked to MailChimp. It was a service that they offered if you got this database. And my database costs $40 a month. So what is that, $480 a year? You know, I mean, I consider it free. I think it's, for the value that it brings to us, it's unbelievable. What else is, what's the other gold in the room? Did you guys have one, or was that it? Yeah. You're just bang on. Monday morning, bang on. All right. That's it, really? Okay, cool. Yeah, Randy.
I'm not sure who here likes cold calling. I know I don't like doing it, I'll be honest. You can do it and call your potential people in the building and they're like, I don't want to hear from you when you're knocking on the door. So what I started doing is when you run a survey for a client, the client says, I have to use five different buildings. I thought, okay, I'm an office guy. So then what I would do is I would go to, and for my assistant, we would go to that building. You know, there are five buildings. They want one suite, right? And maybe one of these buildings. We go to each of those buildings, go to each of the tenants, and say, hey, we've got a tenant that's thinking about coming into your building. What do you like the building? Yeah, we do. No, we don't. How's your air conditioning? Does it break down? Yeah, once in a while. Okay, so you start learning about
that's a good idea.
Cool.
It's fantastic.
Thanks, Randy. So we've got just a couple minutes. Do you want to?
Yeah, I'm just going to say, I'm not a professional speaker, which probably comes across, but the concept here is we're not trying to say you've got a cold call, you've got a door knock or something. You need to do something to bring in new business, be it that sort of way, be it mailers, maybe it's emailers or maybe it's social media. You need to be doing things on a regular basis to bring in business. So thank you for that.
Yeah, so we are about to do the
drawing.
Where did that thing go? Did we lose it? Oh, there it is. It's right, like right in front of my face. It's not right on the corner, though. So if you haven't dropped your card in.
Yeah, please call it up.
First of all, thank everyone for participating. It's a big room. Really, really appreciate everyone for helping out and sharing. Thank you very much. Thank you. Sharing. SIOR is about sharing. And if you're not sharing, start sharing. But listen, just to sum up this session before we get to the raffle, you know, make sure you have a plan. And that plan can be simple. You can start your plan on Monday that I'm going to make two calls this week.
After the session.
Just do something. Okay? Old school techniques, there's technology out there, but using old school techniques, it still works. It's not going anywhere. But the main message here is do something. Stop making excuses and get after it.
Okay, any more?
That's it. So cards. Any more cards?
Any more cards? Okay,
all right.
So I'll do mine first.
Let's have Aaron Bernard come up here.
So the first
and he's going to draw them.
The first package.
Don't call your own name. Although if you do call your own name, just
is the Unique Ability book, and we have a bunch of other books. One is the Dan Sullivan Question, which will change the way you do your business. It's a great little book. And one of Dan's most recent books, it's called The Four C's Formula. Highly recommend it. So also, I have information here. Anybody who wants to have a chat, please see me. Okay? So go ahead.
So the first book.
First book is Jess and Kazana.
How are we doing?
Is he in the room?
Yeah,
it's all the books? Yeah, it's the package.
I'm sorry.
Wait a minute. Okay, well, does everybody, do we want to do separate or the whole package?
Give them all.
Okay, who got it?
Is Justin in the room? No. Next.
Next.
John Aldrich. You in the room?
There's John.
Woo-hoo!
Come on, John. Come on down.
Here, John, share these with the colleagues on your table.
You have to be in the room to win, and we're going to give out money at a Bluetooth speaker. So the guy walking out right now, he's kind of in trouble.
You got it. Thank you.
Okay.
Next.
Cool.
Next is Bluetooth speakers.
Next card is a Bluetooth speaker to Joyce Sloan.
Hey, Joyce.
Come on down.
Woo-hoo.
And you're very fortunate. It has the old Cushman & Wakefield logo on it, so enjoy that.
It might be the old Cushman & Wakefield logo.
That's a bent one. I'm not going to grab that one.
Thank you, Joyce. And $100 out of...
We got $250.
$250.
$250. Oh. Sorry.
Jeez. Rusty Williams.
Hey!
Who says
San Diego
doesn't make money?
By the way, Rusty sends out a quarterly or couple times a year information. I get it. It's like every deal that's sold in San Diego. The properties are available. It's just an awesome... I actually hang on to it because I aspire to create one of those one day. Thanks, Rusty.
Last one.
Last one. This is it. The last
$50. Hal Ball.
Hal Ball.
Hal, all right.
There he is.
He's actually a strategic coach client, too.
That's so right.
So, again, thanks, everyone. This was great. Really appreciate your participation.
Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you.